Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report with Lee Brekeen. I'm your host. Today, we're going to recap the LSU-Texas A&M game for LSU. Also, talk a little bit of recruiting and also a little high school football playoffs. We'll do all that today. First of all, let's get into the LSU game, LSU-Texas A&M. I know it's, for a lot of LSU fans, a lot of disappointment, but I think if most fans will say this and most listeners will agree with this, once you get about 48 hours after a ball game like that, you start to think about how good this team achieved, overachieved this year, you know, winning 9 games. And I predicted them to go 10-2 back in August. I still think they got a chance to win 10 games. I was off a little bit. They're probably going to go 10-3 or 10-4. Right now they have 3 losses, so that means they could go 10-4 possibly, I think, with a loss against Georgia in Atlanta. I'm predicting a loss to in the championship game only because I just think LSU's very tired and they don't have the depth. Not that they're not any good. Not that, you know, we need to get angry at any of the players or coaches. It's just a long season with no depth. And, you know, if you read between the lines, Coach Kelly will tell you, and you've heard it in his press conferences, they're just not deep on talent if you read between the lines. And they're more organized, more structured. The culture changed. It's about team and not we. It's about we and not me. But there's just not a lot of depth, and a lot of guys have been playing a lot of reps. And you could tell against Texas A&M, they just don't have they didn't have the energy, like Coach said. You know, most of the season they were able to get out on the edge and stop the run. I mean, they faced some great running backs this year, LSU. Ole Miss has one of the best running backs in the country, and they shut him down outside. They did the same thing with Arkansas, who's running back the next week at 300 yards. They stopped Alabama's running back, Gibbs, who's one of the top running backs, if not the top running back in the country. That's a junior. But just seeing them not be able to get out and tackle the linebackers, they look tired. You know, Micah Bakersfield, you know, Greg Penn, even Perkins, they just didn't have the energy. They didn't look like they were as healthy. There's no bye weeks, you know, right now. And there's no bye week to the Atlanta game. There's no rest. So I'm not saying LSU can't beat Georgia. I just think they've hit their potential, and I think they topped out. And it's just, you know, Jaden Daniels did not have a good game against Texas A&M, but again, they dropped some of his balls. And he had the big fumble early in the game that cost him, you know, pretty dearly when it was 17-17, and they took the lead 24-17, and then they scored again, 2-touchdown lead, and it just got worse. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about more about LSU, and also, again, we're going to talk a little about recruiting for LSU and also the high school playoffs. I'm going to feature Zachary against Ruston this week. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Brekeen, your host. Getting back to LSU, the reason I think LSU can't beat Georgia this weekend coming up for the SEC championship is I don't think the LSU DBs make plays when the ball's in the air. And they're going to have trouble with Georgia's tight ends. I mean, they couldn't guard 2 receivers from A&M that were pretty decent. You know, Stewart and Muhammad, they made LSU look really bad. But I just think LSU, they don't have a great safety. They don't have a tall safety that really intimidates you on the back end. Their corners, not having Bernard hurt, and then Banks not playing all year from Ohio State. You know, you're lacking depth there. You're having to move people around where they don't need to be because it's, you don't have any choice. But I just don't think LSU can stop third and threes, third and fives, third and sixes against Georgia because they can't guard the tight end. They're not going to be able to. And then they got this, lad who's a junior. They've got several tall receivers. And it's not that Georgia's that much better than LSU. They just have more depth. And I don't think LSU has the DBs. They don't make plays when the ball's in the air. Even some of the guys like Greg Brooks, Sage Ryan, even Joe and those guys in the backfield, they don't make plays vertically in the air. And it's cost them a few games, and they've been able to kind of hide it, you know, because they've made some big plays at the end with Perkins on defense, and they've always had some big plays on offense at the end of a game. But so, I mean, that's my opinion of why they can't beat Georgia. I just don't think they can stop the pass on key third downs. And LSU will probably put Georgia third and three, third and four, third and five in many looks. I don't think LSU got out-coached on defense. Matt House always adjusted at halftime. Always adjusted at halftime. LSU's defensive coordinator, I don't think he's all of a sudden not going to adjust on stopping the run on the edge. I mean, A&M didn't do anything fancy. They were pretty vanilla. But that was A&M's bowl game. They won their bowl game over LSU, and I know it's a big rival, and a lot of LSU fans thought they would smoke them. But, again, this team really accomplished a lot, and I think they're going to win a bowl game. I think if they go to, I think they're predicted to go to the Citrus right now to play Purdue. If they lose to Georgia in Atlanta, be a good bowl game for them. I think they can beat Purdue, obviously. They'll get a little rest. And you'll get some guys back, and I think they'll be, finish 10-4, which was big-time season for LSU. And I think the future's bright. We're going to come back, talk about recruiting and why I think it's bright. We'll be right back.
What does that bug man do?
Not only do we do pest control, we do odor control, bat removal, moisture control, rodents, and, of course, bed bug control. Give the bug man a call. We get them before they get you.
Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Continuing with LSU, let's talk about recruiting and signing day. You got two signing days. You got the December early signing period, and then you have February 3rd, the late signing period, the second signing day. This year there's unlimited signings, meaning you can sign as many players that you would like to sign as long as your scholarships are at 85 for your team. So if people are confused, meaning if you keep your scholarships at 85 players, you can take as many players that you would like to take as transfers or high school kids combined. Here's what I think LSU is going to do based on what's coming back possibly. I think LSU will go with the 25 high school players as signees. I think they'll sign their 25. I think they'll sign maybe as many as 27 high school players. And then I think they'll take anywhere between 32 and 35 players total, meaning they'll sign between 5 and 7 graduate transfers or transfers in the portal. So you get 25 to 27 players, high school players. They're ranked in the top 5 in recruiting right now in the country, which is really, really good for LSU. And I think they're going to finish really strong. I think Coach Kelly's handpicking his class. And what I think they need a guy that can return punts, which they didn't have all year. That's amazing. They didn't even have a guy that can return punts. I mean, they had a good kid that could catch the ball on Clayton, but he couldn't really return the ball. They need to go find him a kicker who can kick off. Even though the freshman did an okay job, but he had a bunch of kicks that didn't hit the end zone that cost him. They need to go load up on cornerbacks again, and they need to find a big safety. And they need to get a big-time senior running back graduate transfer or transfer running back. And people go, why are you saying that, Lee? They got Trey Holly committed from Union Parish. They got Caleb Jackson committed from Liberty and Baton Rouge. Both great players, but they're young. They're really, really young. And I think this team needs an older running back to return. If Josh Williams decides to come back for a 6-year with his COVID year, and the same thing with John Emery, I'm thinking John Emery will go pro and not use his COVID year. But I think you need to bring in, and Goodwin's been hurt 2 years in a row. They need an older back to come in to go with Trey Holly and Caleb Jackson, who are both two really good backs. And obviously Trey Holly's the all-time leading Louisiana rusher with over, 11,000 yards rushing in his career, over 100-and-something touchdowns. But they need an older back. That would be my number one priority is bring in. And they need a couple of D tackles to get deep at D line. If they would have had the depth at D line this year, they would have had if they would have had a little bit more depth at corner, if they would have had a punt returner and a better, a more dominant running back, this LSU team would be undefeated. They won without all the parts and pieces this year. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about high school football. We'll be right back. Gros Savant Lodge, the true sportsman's paradise. Gros Savant Lodge has fresh and saltwater fishing, alligator hunting, waterfowl hunting, and echo tours located south of Lake Charles, Louisiana. Give them a call at 337-598-2357. That number to call again is 337-598-2357 and have the time of your life. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. A lot of exciting games in the playoffs, and we're getting to the semifinals this coming Friday. Love this time of year. There's a lot of teams left from all over the state, especially the Monroe, New Orleans, and Baton Rouge areas. There was a lot of teams from the Shreveport area that lost. Calvary Baptist lost to Dunham. I think it's Dunham's best team ever. I think Neil Weiner, I'm predicting he wins the state championship over U High. And look, I think U High has a great team. They have a great, offense. They have a senior quarterback. They've got Dylan Moses' younger brother who's really come on at running back. They've got some really good players. But I think that Dunham is a senior team. U High is more of a younger team that I think will win it again next year. So if U High wins it this year, they'll win it 2 years in a row. But I think that Dunham is their best team ever. That's going to be a great championship game. I think the game of the week this Friday will be Zachary at Ruston High School in Class 5A football. I'm going to tell you something right now. That's going to be the game of the century because Ruston and Zachary's played before. Zachary beat them last time to get to the state championship game. This Ruston team, let me just share this. I saw them play 2 weeks ago. They've got the best defensive line in the country in high school football, and Zachary's not far from them as far as a great D-line. And look at this. Zachary's got three D-linemen that are committed to Power 5 colleges. Zachary does, and Zachary has another kid committed to LSU who's a linebacker. But Ruston has 11 kids on defense that will go play college ball. And they're not all seniors. Three of their D linemen, two of those guys are underclassmen. They have some really good young DBs and linebackers. They have a big-time stud receiver who's a senior, about 6'3", 185. Their quarterback's going to sign probably 1AA. They've got a really good running back that's run for over 1,500 yards the last 2 years. And the offensive line for Ruston averages over 285 pounds, over 6'1", 6'2". This Ruston team is the most talented team in maybe 30 years. And look, they were pretty good last year and the year before. But I believe that Ruston High School, Zachary, the winner of that game, is going to win the state championship on the public side in high school football. And then you got Kaflah Kai beating Edna Carr this past Friday. Kudos to Edna Carr and Bryce Brown. They've had one of the best programs in the last 12 years in any classification. And in Kaflah Kai was able to make a statement by beating them in Edna Carr's first year on the private side in the playoffs. And they joined the Catholic League this year in New Orleans for the first time. Kaflah Kai did not have their best game, and they still beat Edna Carr. Shelton Sampson had a pretty good game. Daniel Beal threw a couple interceptions, but he's a great quarterback. By the way, he's only a junior, and I think he's going to be the best quarterback in the state next year. He's an incredible talent, and he's smart. He reminds me a lot of Joe Burrow when it comes to leadership and just putting the ball where it needs to be. And he's got great size. He's 6'2", close to 200 pounds. And if Barry Remo can come back for Kaflah Kai, they got a chance to win the state title again. Can you believe this? This will be their, if they make it back to a state championship game this year, it'll be 6 years in a row, which is just unheard of in Class 5A on the private side. 6 years in a row if they win this Friday night in the semifinals. I hope everybody enjoyed the show today. Like I said, recruiting. If you're a mom or dad listening and your kid's a recruit, and there's a lot of kids in the state of Louisiana that are considered 1AA. Some people say Subdivision 1, but I still say 1AA football, Southeastern, Northwestern, Southern, Grambling, McNeese. You know, Lamar, Stephen F. Austin, those are 1AA programs. And there's a lot of small, what I would say, a lot of kids in the state that are D1, but they're not LSU recruits. Maybe they're not, Michigan or Alabama recruits, but they're good enough to go to Tulane or ULL or Louisiana Tech. Be patient, because once the portal opens December the 5th, these college coaches will have an idea by December the 20th. For the second signing period, they'll realize what high school kids they're going to give scholarships to, my prediction, and the rest who they're going to give scholarships to from the portal. Most colleges are still going to take 5 to 7 transfers. Some are still going to take 10 or 15, which I think is too much, and it's taken away from high school kids in scholarships. But the good news for parents, these classes are unlimited, meaning a lot of small D1 schools that need to rebuild can sign 40 kids if need be. And that means at least 25 will be high school kids this year instead of just 10 or 12. So the numbers will work out in the end. And it's just that they're going to sign a lot of high school kids in the second signing period. And a lot of kids that are high school kids are going to sign after signing day, after February 3rd. I think it's going to go all the way to April, May. Where they just take their time on trying to take kids. Just be patient if you're a mom and dad. It doesn't mean your kid's not good enough. Doesn't mean they're not going to get an offer. It's just they're going to work this process now that they have the portal. And once December 5th hits and they open the portal up again, they're going to take the whole month of December to figure out what high school kids they're going to get. And then come February 3rd, they're going to look at what's left. And then it probably, speaking about the D1 schools, probably after March, April, that's when the D1s are going to try and finish, a couple of months after the two signing periods, which doesn't make sense for people, but that's where we are now in recruiting. And a lot of your 1AA teams, D2 and D3, in junior colleges will finish up as late as probably June, maybe even July. Is that crazy or what? But that's just the world we're in now with the portal. These college coaches can take their time and not have to offer kids early that are high school football players. I don't care how good you are, a lot of kids are going to have to wait until the second signing period or after to get an offer. And it's normal now. It's the new normal. Again, I hope everybody enjoys the show. Be sure to subscribe to YouTube with us. It's free. When you go to YouTube, go hit the subscribe button. It'll help us out a lot if you're a listener. If you're a new listener or a regular listener, please do that to help us. Also, thank everybody that goes to any of the podcasts that you get. We're on Podbean. And we, any questions you have, write to me. If you want to write to me, lbrakeen@aol.com. If you have any questions, if you're a mom or dad, if you're not getting, you know, if you need any help or any advice on recruiting, again, my email is lbrakeen@aol.com. And you can also get our show on Twitter and our website, lafootballmagazine.com. We'll see everybody next week. Excuse me. We'll see everybody on Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brakeen.